Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nerdy Boys Reviews. We are your hosts. I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
This is your weekly nerd podcast. We give you an overview of everything nerdy that happens in movies, comics, television, and news. We tell you what it all means and why you should be excited about it. Spoiler warning, if you've not watched the latest and greatest of nerd television and or movies, pause this podcast, go watch it, and join us again for the fun afterwards. Explicit content warning. This material may not be suitable for all listeners of all ages, so you've been warned. What up, what up, what up, what up, my nerdy peeps?
Hello. It is a Sunday.
Today is Sunday, the lazy day of the week.
Something like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's so much going on today, though. I mean, Game of Thrones comes back.
Whoa, slow your roll there, friend. How you doing?
Good goodness the stuff.
Okay, now you continue. Yeah. I just wanted to get that out of the way, you know?
Yeah, Sunday is like a day where, like, you know, I don't know, like, it's, I don't know what people usually do, but we like clean and, like, you know, get ready for the week ahead and do laundry and stuff.
Like, just like lay around and be lazy,
yeah,
as heck.
Yeah, some of that too. And we podcast usually as well, so that's cool.
But things are going to be changing around here.
Yeah, because I got a new job, as
what?
I talked about last week, I believe. And so I work down the street now. So, you know, if we're like, hey, we don't want to wait till next Sunday to podcast about Game of Thrones season 7 premiere, and we don't want to do it tonight because we'll be pretty tired and we need to get ready for work tomorrow, we can just do it tomorrow, right? Like, that's a thing. We just do it tomorrow.
Yay! I can't guarantee that we'll be doing, like, every show, like, a podcast for every show, like, the day of or the day after, but I can tell you that, you know, the possibility for more podcasts during the week is a likely scenario. We'll be putting that out on our social media. Make sure you guys are following us on all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as long as Snapchat as well. We'll be putting out details throughout the week. If we decide to go ahead and publish another podcast, we'll keep you guys up to date through the social media stuff. So, like I said, follow us, keep up to date. And make sure you guys, wherever you guys are downloading the podcast from, make sure that you guys are absolutely, like, subscribed to our podcast channel, because that way you'll usually be able to know and be notified when a new podcast is published as well.
Yeah, definitely. Please do that. So D23 Expo, the Disney Expo, is going on this weekend in Southern California. So there's some news from there that we got to talk about, but there's really not as much as you'd expect, you know, like, there's just a couple things that have been announced.
Right. Yeah. So we're just going to be doing news, and we'll be talking about the Marvel comic reboot a little bit later on in the podcast, and maybe some other stuff. But we'll see.
All right, yeah, so shall we get into the news?
Yes, sir. This is the MBR News, live from MBR Studios in Christian's bedroom. Christian, back to you.
All right, so first bit of news, the Avengers Infinity War footage. There was a Infinity War footage from D23, so, you know, filming has concluded of that, and so this guy recapped the footage for us because it hasn't been released to the public, but I'm sure it'll be leaked later online. So pretty much what he says is the Guardians are arriving somewhere on the Milano. Star-Lord says they need to be careful and that everyone should wear their mean faces. By the way, if you guys don't want to hear, like, the spoilery stuff, I mean, it's not really spoilers, but, you know, if you don't want to hear it, just skip ahead. Mean faces. A body slams against the front of the Milano. It's Thor. Mantis wakes him up. Who the hell are you guys? He asks. Loki is presenting Thanos with the Tesseract. Spider-Man is on a school bus, because, you know, he goes to school. Death follows him like a shadow, someone says of Thanos. We see the Collector's lair destroyed, and Gamora is in it crying. Fun isn't something you consider when you're trying to balance the universe, says Thanos, but this does put a smile on my face. Lots of Avengers fighting, the Hulkbuster is back, Spider-Man is in his Avengers costume, a giant battle with Thanos on an utterly decimated landscape. He's able to reach out his arm and call down flaming comets from the heavens. Doctor Strange is on the battlefield, Iron Man is with Mantis, it looks massive.
What? So from that, what are your thoughts?
I mean, my thoughts are that, you know, the Avengers are just going to get destroyed.
Yeah, like, more than likely, it just kind of calls to the power of Thanos and, you know, his true ability. And even in the comics, if he wasn't so distracted while fighting, like if he just like kept focus,
yeah,
he would have honestly just killed everyone and, you know, did what he wanted. But yeah. They're just kind of like testament to his true power. And, you know, I like the description too. Like, I think it was pretty well written by this guy. I don't know who wrote it.
Just a guy who works for Superhero Hype who was there. So.
Right. And like Christian said, I'm sure that it will be published on the internet later on at some point. I can't wait for that video clip to surface itself and we could do a reaction video on YouTube. Because, I mean, even though what we know is what happens in the clip, I mean, just seeing it's something totally different.
Yeah, definitely.
In other Avengers news, the Black Order from Avengers Infinity War revealed Marvel Studios has pulled the curtain on four more maquettes from filming, revealing none other than Thanos' Black Order. The characters seen look nearly identical to their comic book counterparts, including Corvus Glaive, Proxima Midnight, Cole Obsidian, and Ebony Maw. In addition, the Mad Titan himself, John Brolin, showed up on the floor with the full assembled Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah, so he's not going to be fighting the Avengers alone, it seems. Have the Black Order with him, which is pretty neato burrito. Are you excited?
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty excited about it.
So, moving on to some television news. Squirrel Girl, actress, and more join New Warriors cast. Marvel Entertainment has lined up the cast for their upcoming live-action freeform series, New Warriors, led by Doreen Green / Squirrel Girl. Actress Milana Varentrub from This Is Us in AT&T commercials. And Derek Feller from Baby Daddy and Shark Killer as Craig Hollis / Mr. Immortal. Joining Varentrub and Feller are Jeremy Tardy from Dear White People as Dwayne Taylor / Midnight Thrasher, Callum Worthy from Austin and Ally as Robbie Baldwin / Speedball, Matthew Moy from Two Broke Girls as Zach Smith / Microbe, and Kate Comer from The Comeback as Deborah Fields / Debris, like Debris Fields. Yes. I am thrilled beyond belief to be working with this incredible group of actors. They are funny, sincere, eager, charming, and perfectly embody these characters. It'll be a blast and an honor to create this show with each of them, said showrunner Kevin Beagle from Enlisted. We're so lucky to have assembled such a diverse, incredibly talented cast, Marvel head of TV Jeff Loeb said. We can't wait for the fans to see what's in store when we unleash these iconic characters into the world. The network has ordered 10 30-minute episodes slated to debut in 2018, which tells me this will just be a comedy, pretty much, like a sitcom, 30-minute episodes.
Yeah, probably.
So it's about, if you didn't know, Marvel's New Warriors is about six young people with powers living and working together with powers and abilities on the opposite end of the spectrum of the Avengers. The New Warriors want to make a difference in the world, even if the world isn't ready. Not quite super, not yet heroes. Marvel's New Warriors is about that time in your life when you first enter adulthood and feel like you can do everything and nothing at once, except at in this world, bad guys can be as terrifying as bad dates. Ha ha! It is a sitcom.
Yeah. exactly. I think the 30-minute thing gives that away. If you've never really, you know, watched a lot of different television, that gives away is because if you watch anything serious, it generally lends itself to more 45 to 60 minute episodes.
Yeah.
30 minutes has no time to do any character development, any storyline development, nothing. 30 minutes is nothing. I'm literally saying, because it's true though. Like you think about it, you know, Friends, right. How I Met Your Mother, you know, just various very iconic, you know, sitcom television shows. They're all 30 minutes long.
Even those shows, you know, have like drama and like different like kind of, serious storylines, but most things are played for a joke. They're not played for that, you know, seriousness necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying they won't have its serious moments, but I think for the most part, it'll be more on the comedy side of things and be very lighthearted, and I don't expect anything too serious or too, like, wow. Yeah.
I don't understand the obsession with Squirrel Girl, like, that people have. Like, she's been irrelevant for 40 years. Like, I don't know. Like, she's, like, just... Like
out of nowhere.
They make a big deal out of it, like, being, oh, Squirrel Girl, and everybody, like, loves her because she's Squirrel Girl, but, like, she's... Like, that's, like, one of those characters, like, that people that aren't really, like, fans, like, latch onto to get into the format, you know? Like, they're right. Like, oh, Squirrel Girl, she's so quirky and funny, and it's like Deadpool, or it's like, you know, Howard the Duck after Guardians 2. Like, before that, it was, or before the Guardians of the Galaxy, like, before that, who was Howard the Duck? Nobody really cared, you know? It was a terrible movie from the 80s, but now, you know, now it's a character that's fun and quirky, you know? It's like, people latch onto things like that, even though they've been irrelevant for so long.
I think it's because it's the mindset of, oh, I knew about that character way before these movies or way before that was announced. And, you know, I'm quote unquote, you know, the elitist sort of nerd.
Right.
They're trying to personify themselves as a not real comic book fan couldn't possibly know who Squirrel Girl is. You know, It was like this thing I've seen on Twitter. They're like, I forgot who they were talking to exactly. But it was like an artist or a writer on a comic book, and she was talking about comic book fans, and like this guy replied to her and said, oh yeah, I bet you're just one another of those females that have no idea what they're talking about, comic books. And she like laughed and then posted a picture of her full name on the comic book and like edited arrows pointing to her name. Like, oh really?
Yeah.
Like, he's like, oh yeah, I bet you know nothing about comic books. And I bet you don't even know who Squirrel Girl is.
Squirrel Girl's nobody. Like, real comic book fans don't give a rip about Squirrel Girl, you know?
But it's one of those things,
they,
you know,
like throw it out there. Like, yeah. Oh, I know this underappreciated. Like, they're not underappreciated. Like Iron Man is underappreciated, right?
Right.
Like,
oh, yeah,
but
I know,
like,
right?
Everybody knows who he is still, but like, Squirrel Girl is nobody. Like, and like the fact that she's like the headline of the article, like I don't blame superhero hype. They're just playing to their audience, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know, whatever. Yep. Anyway, end rant.
So there is a new image out there. We don't usually talk about it, but it does have to do with our Arrow TV show. It says take a first look at Juliana Hargitay in the new Black Canary costume. The EW just revealed the first look of the Black Canary costume design. We're looking at it. What do you think?
It looks like more like a mix between an X-Men and an Aquaman costume. Like, it's like something that Namor would wear, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if he had like a full costume, like it has like little scales kind of on it.
Well, I mean, you think about it, it's like, so like, You like look at like Oliver's costume and his, so yeah. Does his.
Yeah, I like the mask. I think the mask looks pretty dope, to be honest. Like,
yeah.
I think it's a better looking mask than the old one. And I think like I like the design. I think it's like just trying to do something a little different with it. It's not taking Laurel's look and like whatever, like they're making a new version. Like, it almost looks like a spoiler costume without a hood, you know?
Right. So like, okay, here's my thing, and like, here's something I kind of actually like read from an article, so I don't want to take full credit on it. But do you ever like feel like they just don't know how to write the Black Canary character correctly? Like, you think about it, it's like the most like rotated character through like the CW shows.
Well, it's because like they started off on the wrong foot, you know.
But like, then like they like kind of put, you know, the good foot forward, but it still wasn't like, you know, as much as we loved Laura Lance, the character, and even like the actress, like Katie Cassidy, she's like a really good actor, I feel like. But I just don't know if they quite got the writing right on it. And then, so then like they killed her off and then brought in another Black Canary, yeah. And now she's assuming the mantle. And I just like wonder if they're ever going to quite get that character right. And obviously we know with like the history behind the Black Canary character and like Oliver Queen and Green Arrow, do you think that there's a possibility that she could ever become Oliver's love interest?
I mean, you'd think that, like, you'd expect that, kind of, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, I get what you're saying, but, like, I thought Sarah's Black Canary acted more like, you know, Laurel, like Dinah from the comics, than
right.
than Laurel did. And then Laurel took the mantle over, which she should have all been the whole time, you know. But it's like they couldn't coalesce those two sides of the character. You know, like they had like, you know, one character who had no business being Black Canary in the first place, but acted like Black Canary.
Right.
Like, and then, you know, she went off to Legends and wasn't very good. But, you know, and then you have Laurel who became Black Canary and should have been Black Canary, but didn't act like Black Canary, you know.
Right.
And like the whole like. And then they torture you when she dies, and she's like, oh, it, like, pretty much it's always been Oliver, like, you know, I've loved him this whole time and all this stuff. And you're just like, why couldn't you make this work before?
Now, here's, like, another theory, right? Because, like, I always felt like there's, like, some sort of, like, sexual chemistry between this new Black Canary and Diggle. Do you think that's ever going to be a possibility that, like, because, like, you, like, for, like, quite a while now, like, Diggle and, what's her name?
Lila
has been, like, on the rocks, and you don't know whether or not they're going to stay together. And there's always been, like, that inherent, like, sexual chemistry that I can see between the two. So, like, I just kind of wonder if, like, that's the direction they're going with.
Yeah, it could be. I mean,
And, like, and if they did go in that direction, like, how'd that make you feel opposed to, like, maybe going towards, like, Oliver?
That wouldn't bother me because I think that Laurel was the one for Oliver, you know? Like, Dinah Drake is this character, the new one that we're talking about now.
Right.
And I don't think that lends itself to, you know, being someone romantically interested for Green Arrow. Like, I know every female character on the show, you're like, oh, well, Ollie's going to get with him, you know? But I think she would be a good fit for Diggle. Like, I mean...
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it makes sense.
They have so much chemistry, and I can't see why they wouldn't, unless, like, she started getting with, like, Renee or something. But that wouldn't make much sense either.
Right.
So, I mean, maybe she just won't get with anyone. That's a thing, too.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the costume?
I don't know. Like, I kind of enjoy it. You know, it makes sense, like, the way it's designed. It kind of, you know, just like every other sort of costume. So, like, the design doesn't surprise me. I do kind of like the outlining of the suit.
Yeah, the where, gold
like,
lines.
You kinda, yeah, it kind of has, like, some gold lining in the suit, what I quite like. And then I do enjoy the mask. It's probably maybe one of the best masks on the show, actually.
Yeah, it's really reminiscent of, like, a Robin mask.
Yeah, I was looking, I was like, yeah. Like, it quite reminded me, like, can you kind of, like, look at it, like, from a distance? It almost looks like that really awful Batman Forever movie, right? Wasn't that the one where they had, like, Batgirl?
Did they have Batgirl on there?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, she kind of looks to me like Stephanie Brown in that costume.
Yeah.
If I'm honest, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, I like it. So some news from the Batman movie. Matt Reeves says that the next Batman movie will be starting from scratch. So War Planet of the Apes is his new movie. It's in theaters now. So go check it out if you haven't watched it. We haven't seen it yet, but we'll probably check it out eventually. So director Matt Reeves has been dropping a few details about his highly anticipated follow-up project, Warner Brothers' next Batman movie. At one time believed to be called The Batman, plans for The Dark Knight's next big-screen adventure are still nascent. While the film may still retain the title, Reeves revealed in conversation with MTV's Happy, Sad, Confused podcast that the next Batman movie won't be using Ben Affleck and Geoff Johns' script. He says it's a new story. We're starting again. So, like, pretty much his philosophy on it, this is what he said. I can fail for every single reason because of myself. I don't want to fail because of something that I don't believe in the first place because I'm not going to know how to do it. I can respect that somebody else might know exactly how to do it. Like, there are plenty of things that I'm not the right director for, and I love to go see those movies. I love to see what people can do, but I can only do what I can do, and so I have to do... So I have to work from the perspective for self-preservation. It's not out of any kind of like my way or the highway. It's because that's the way I have to do it for me to feel confident in my choices.
What do you think about that?
I think it's interesting.
I think it's fantastic, actually. Right. Because like, think about it. It's like, if you don't believe something in something, you're not going to give it your 1000%.
Right.
You know, you'll probably give it, you know, 70, maybe 80, but that 30-20% difference is what's the difference between an okay movie and a great movie, something yeah. that lasts versus something that you know falls to the wayside, people forget about, and doesn't, you know, ever make it into the what was the best Batman movie of all time. This wouldn't be that if he decided to basically sell out and try to do something that he just doesn't believe in. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like someone hands you the script and says, this is what we're doing, and you say, well, I don't like this, but I have to try to make it work, you know? Like, he's pretty much saying, well, if it fails, it should be all my fault, not because of someone else's script. Like, he wants it to be something where if the movie's not good, it's not because, like, he can't point fingers. It would fall on him, you know? I think that's pretty much what he's saying, so. But I'm excited for it, and when he's talking about, like, noir-driven and things like that in the past articles, like, I like where he wants to go with it, so let's do it.
Right. So, in some other news, some Doctor Who news. Ooh, we don't get this very often. So, we're going to have a new Doctor, but the actress to play the new Doctor is Jodie Whittaker. BBC and BBC America announced today that Jodie Whittaker will play the 13th Doctor on Doctor Who. She'll be the 13th Time Lord and take over for Peter Capaldi, who leaves the global hit show at Christmas time. New head writer and executive producer Chris how do you say that?
Chibnall.
My name's Chibnall, y'all. who takes over for Stephen Moffat on the next series, made the decision to cast the first ever woman in the iconic role. The 35-year-old Jodie Whittaker has starred in such films as Saint Trinian. I don't, dude. What the hell is up with these names? I hate you.
I honestly thought I was reading this one, so I do apologize.
Trinians. Okay. Attack the Block, and she has also appeared in television series Tess of Ubervilles, Wired, Return to Cranford, Marchlands, Black Mirror, Broadchurch, The Assets, and trust me, I have not seen not one of those productions, not one. That does not give me good confidence. Jodie Whittaker says, I'm beyond excited to begin this epic journey with Chris and with Wyovenin.
Every Whovian.
Oh, every what? On this planet? Okay, I don't even know what that
is. A Whovian is a Doctor Who fan. Everybody knows.
A Whovian. Oh, okay, okay.
Like a Who from Whoville?
Yes, okay. dude, that's so funny because, like, so I've been, like, in this last week, been working in a town called Watsonville, which is, like, right next to, Santa Cruz, and it's very, like kind of farm townish. There's like only 83,000 people in the population there. Like, my coworker Dwayne's like all sitting there saying, he's like, yeah, welcome to Whoville. It's just like funny because you mentioned it. Okay.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I don't care what she says.
She says she's excited, and then a whole bunch of people,
hey, this is my article, dude. I said I didn't care.
Okay, well, a whole bunch of people had nice things to say about her, but the internet is a roaring with people hating the fact that there's a woman cast, and then it's a roaring with people arguing with them saying it's not a big deal and you should support it. So where do you fall on this?
I don't care that she's a female. I just care that maybe because she's more than likely, you know, a foreign actress to us. She's probably not from the United States. She's probably from the UK somewhere, I would assume. Maybe these shows are good over there, but I have not heard of one thing. So to me, that means she's not done of anything of substance to me.
What would Matt Smith do, you know?
I mean, I don't know. Like, it's she's 35 years old, and I've never heard of her before.
Well, Broadchurch is a very popular show that a lot of people like. I haven't seen it, but I know people like it. And Black Mirror is that show on Netflix that's really weird that people watch. Like,
but have you watched any of it?
I watched other people watch it, if that makes sense. Like, I watched other people, like, react weird, to it online. Dude. Like,
dude, I'm gonna watch you watching this.
I watched Irish people watch it.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting. I mean, just because you don't know them doesn't mean that they're gonna be bad. It's just,
yeah. I don't know. Black Mirror is a Netflix show. That's all I know. Okay.
Sick.
So, yeah, we don't care that she's a woman. All we care about is whether or not she is good.
So here's what I have to say about the whole woman thing, right? So if you know anything about Doctor Who, it doesn't matter because, so even when, I think it was kind of best explained when Matt Smith made his first appearance and he's like, you know, adjusting to
his body
and what he eats and stuff. And he's like, yeah, I never know how I'm going to come back. I can come back. I think he even said as a female, I'm pretty sure, or as an alien. I don't even know. He's like, I could come back as anything. And I just, you know, kind of deal with it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, for people to be outraged that it's a woman and, oh, they're just, you know, pandering to the masses. Dude, go fuck yourself, honestly. I could care less about your opinion. All I care is whether or not, if it's quality, if she's a sound actress, then she's a sound actress, and that's all I care about.
Yeah, I mean, Peter Capaldi, like, we didn't watch all of it, but we didn't like most of what we watched with him.
Right, yeah.
Like, there's some good stuff, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think I would need to watch, like, the rest of, you know, what kind of, like, goes on.
Shoulder.
But, yeah, most of it was pretty bad. I mean, I didn't like him as the Doctor at all. But, I mean, it's pretty hard to follow up against David Tennant and Matt Smith back-to-back. Like, yeah. And even then, you could even consider the... I've never known his name, but, like, he is one of my favorite doctors, though.
Christopher Eccleston.
Yes.
10th Doctor.
Yes.
Ninth.
The one right before David Tennant.
Yeah. Yeah.
The one, he, like, that the current generation starts with.
The one who went on to play Malekith in Thor: The Dark World.
Correct. Correctamundo.
But, no, I mean... Definitely give it a chance. Definitely see how she is. And, I mean, like we're just saying, you know, it has nothing to do with men or women or whatever. Like, there are men that can be terrible actors, too, you know? Like,
right.
And this, to me, isn't pandering. It's just trying something new. So.
Correct. All right. I think that's all we got for news this week. But I think... What? Is there more news?
No. This is just the Marvel Legacy stuff.
Oh.
So, it's... some of the solicitations, but just, you know, talking about what it is and all that and what we think of it. So what the hell is this? Anyway, so yeah, that's all the news we have for you guys. But we are going to talk about Marvel's reboot, their comic book reboot now, because I've seen people talking about it and a lot of them are saying it's uninteresting and things like that. And I wanted to kind of see what it was because I haven't really kept on comics recently. So essentially, Marvel has announced that they are going to be rebooting their universe, kind of. So we're going back, in many cases, to the original numbers of the series. So, like, Black Panther is going to be 166 during this reboot. So it's not like going, you know, like every time they reboot, they go back to one. Now they're accumulating, essentially, and going back to all of them. This is a reboot called Marvel Legacy, and there are different solicitations for it. Let's see. So everything kicks off in September with Marvel Legacy number one, a 50-page one-shot from Jason Aaron and artist Asad Ribic that promises to tell the starting origin of the Marvel Universe and underscore how it's all connected. The issue will introduce the Avengers of 1 million BC. To help keep track Marvel Legacy announcements, there are solicitations. So you can find solicitations on Comic Book Resources, on Newsarama. Newsarama is probably the best one. They're going to keep up with them more, I think, like they have been. So, yeah, we have things like Black Panther 166, Captain Marvel 125, Amazing Spider-Man 789. This sounds an awful lot like Rebirth, right?
Right. I mean, I think, you know, to us, New 52 wasn't a failed venture, but to a lot of people that got, like, left reading comic books for DC, they just kind of wanted to appease everyone and wanted to bring back the old continuity, which that kind of sounds much like what they're doing. I couldn't quite consider it a reboot, but more of a reverting.
Yeah.
That's what I would kind of name it, not a reboot. Because a reboot, you know...
Yeah, they're not starting again.
You know, yeah, that's exactly what a reboot is. Means that you're starting over, and they're not starting over. They're reverting back to the old continuity. But, I mean, I think it's just they tried to go in a direction, and it didn't work out so well. Probably reflects into their comic book sales, that all this different titles and whatnot. I wonder if they're going to calm down on the volume of titles. I think that's what is more concerning to me.
Yeah, I don't think they are. Like, there's so many titles, like, and things, like, and then they're introducing these new ones, like this, like, Gwenpool, which, again, is, to me, Squirrel Girl. Like, they're trying to introduce, like, these new, like, over-the-top, like, characters, and then they're doing Gwenom as well. I believe that's in here. Gwenom, Spider-Gwen, I know for sure, yeah. They're doing Spider-Gwen, Gwenom Part 1. Like, I don't care about Gwenom, to be honest. Like, I liked Spider-Gwen when she first came out. Now it's overhyped. It's too much. It's not even that good. I am interested in the all-new Wolverines, where you have Dakin back.
Ooh, that actually sounds pretty good.
That's cool. But that's, like, pretty much it. Like, they're reassembling the Iceman team again. Like, I like Iceman, but this Iceman team doesn't make any sense. I don't understand that. the Royals thing, all right, this is like one of the big ones, right? So the Inhumans race was born of Kree experiments, and who made the Kree enter the progenitors? Meanwhile, the Inhuman royal family, led by Black Bolt and Medusa, are searching for the prime materia, the original Terrigen. But even if they find the chemical that will save their dying race, can they escape the revenge of its creators? It has been foretold that the seven who left Earth, only six will return, and Medusa is already dying. Who will the Royals lose? So to me, this reeks of like the, you know, who made the Celestials, you know, the Dark Celestials, yeah, and all that. Like, I feel like that's almost kind of a reboot there, but it is more of a theological kind of book. So is that something you would be interested in?
Maybe. I don't know. It's just so hard to get back into comic books right now. It's just so much stuff going on at the moment. It's just too many titles, I feel like. But I mean, as a story, to answer your question, yeah, I mean, it sounds like a pretty interesting story. You know, I don't feel like it's so much theology that you kind of think it is, but I mean, I can see where you see that.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, I guess it's origin kind of story more so, but yeah, I mean, but nothing's really changing, to be honest. Like, a lot of these books that are staying around, like Black Panther, Amazing Spider-Man, whatever, they still have the same creative teams. It's still Dan Slott doing Spider-Man, you know. It's like, not, you're not getting new writers and new people doing these things, you know. Right. So I don't really understand the point of it if they're not going to narrow down their books. Like, if they're not going to go back and do like what they did with the Ultimates, which made it very easy for people to get into comics with like their like reboot of like a new, like, or essentially a new universe with not too many titles. Like, I don't understand it. So
right, and I feel like that's what they should do, to be honest with you. Like, just like, I don't know, just start, like, if you're going to do something like this, just start over and kill down the titles, man. It's just too many. Just far too many, man. It's just, it's frustrating.
Well, I mean, we went from, like, 3 years ago having one Inhumans title to now having, like, six. Like, who needs it? Who needs that many? Who needs six X-Men titles?
I mean,
who needs?
That's what happens when you just live in an age of, like, consumers and stuff. You know, they know what will sell, and, you know, it does sell to a degree, and, you know, it is what it is, kind of deal.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not a reboot, guys, in my opinion, but I don't agree with what exactly they're doing. You know, if you're going to like kind of do something like this, just kind of go all in and just restart it. And, you know, but I guess this is a fine, try, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So the only, like, the biggest title, I guess, will be Thor, the Mighty Thor, number 700. It's a big number for it. We might see the return of regular Thor, I guess. I don't know. The battle rages as Jane's cancer takes a turn for the worse, and she might not have to wait for the final judgment. Blah, 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 you know. But it's still, and we're still in the world where the Ultimate Universe and our universe have mixed, so. Yeah. Not really rebooting, but yeah.
No.
So, I don't know. Do you think this is a smart move by Marvel, or you think they're just kind of spinning their wheels?
I think they're just kind of spinning their wheels. I just don't know if they necessarily have any more ideas.
I mean, you can't go wrong with just going back to what you know, you know? Like, the fact that they're doing Iron Man, they're redoing Iron Man a little bit, like, that Bendis is back on there, Invincible Iron Man, he's writing that, I think is a good move for that. But like, you could just do that with a lot of these things and bring back Wolverine, like bring back the Hulk. Like, you can bring back a lot of characters and sell comics. That's all you really have to do. Or kill more characters and sell comics.
So, yeah. But I mean, it is what it is. Let us know what you guys' thoughts on the Marvel quote unquote reboot. You guys can reach us on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, or there's a website, www.nerdyboysreviews.com. I'm sure you can leave some comments somewhere on there. So, yeah.
So.
Is that all we got?
That's pretty much all we have. So do subscribe to us so you'll know when all of our new podcasts are coming out or come out, obviously.
And subscribe to us on YouTube as well so you know when we're publishing new content on there. We usually publish like reaction videos to trailers that come out. We should be working on something pretty soon, so stay tuned on YouTube as well.
Yeah, definitely. So that will wrap us up. I'm Nerdy Boy Christian.
And I'm Nerdy Boy Scott.
And as always, we have one message for you, and that is
stay nerdy, boys.